T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Fox Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. After a Phillies victory on opening day, extra innings, Gene Segura down the third baseline to win the game in 10 innings, which I love the extra inning rule. I know we're talking tonight about it, and for a lot of people today, for 8,800 people at least, it was the first time watching it in person. We got a chance to watch it last year. The Phillies had some good, some bad with the extra innings last year, but whatever. They took good, some bad the whole season. But the bullpen today, from the 7th all the way through the 10th inning, 3 1/3, scoreless. Now, it wasn't all perfect. I mean, you had to have a runner thrown out at home plate in the 10th. You had Alvarado, who was just, that was a complete and total roller coaster there in the 8th inning. But the bottom line is they had 3 1/3 innings today of zero runs. Like that, you can look at all the numbers, all the different reasons, what they did, how they got there. I mean, that's significant. I mean, that's something they could not do last year, and they did it tonight. And that's why they won the game, because Nola, I thought, was really good. And then he made one significant mistake. He missed that spot on the pitch to Pablo Sandoval probably by, a foot and a half. I mean, that JT was lining, sat outside. We wanted that ball outside corner to the lefty Sandoval. And that ball rode back inside. And Sandoval, he's always been a bad ball hitter, a mistake hitter. He just absolutely crushed that down the right field. I mean, that ball went high up, too. So the Phillies get themselves a walk-off victory. They're 1-0. And really, the first 13 games, we've talked about the schedule, what it's going to be this year. You don't win, you don't lose divisions or playoff spots on April 1st. That is not the way baseball works. It's a marathon of a season. But the first 13 games being against the Braves and Mets, it's no joke. Like, you got to get off to a good start, and you at least can't get buried here against the two teams. And we'll see when the Nationals start playing what they are. But I think they're a question mark this year. And the Marlins lost today, and I think they're just going to struggle over a full season to hit enough. And now Sixto has got a shoulder issue. So the way I look at it is the Mets and Braves are the Phillies' most important competition. The first 13 are against those teams. So these games matter. It's early, but they matter, and they got themselves a win today. Let's talk about it. On Thursday nights at 9, we bring on Jack Fritz to talk some baseball. He is back. An hour last night, and you get more time tonight. Jack, what's up?
I mean, it's an honor to be a part of the show, Joe. You can't go 162-0 without winning the first game. So we are still on pace.
That's what they say, and it was a win. Look, there's a lot of different things we can get into, but Jack, let's just start with something that I haven't looked it up yet, but I can't imagine there were many times last season where the bullpen went 3 1/3 scoreless. They did that. They did that today, and it wasn't perfect, but it just was. It was refreshing to watch zeros go up on the board by a bullpen. We didn't see that for a full season.
Yeah, I didn't know it was allowed. I didn't know that the Phillies were allowed to do that. So it's good to see them back playing by the rules, and you are allowed to have a normal bullpen that can just get outs and all that stuff. I will say, though, I know they didn't allow a run, but it sure felt like they did. Jose Alvarado was an experience.
Yes.
Archie, I thought, was fine. Nothing crazy. Hector, I'm kind of worried about the velo dip. And then Connor Brogdon is just awesome. But, it's definitely encouraging. It's just I'm not wow, that was an amazing bullpen performance, because it kind of felt like, it wasn't something to write home about, I would say.
What did you make of how Girardi deployed them? So we knew Hector was going to be the closer, and it was a tie game at that point. But he came in the 9th inning. I thought you could feel that they only had one lefty today, because it felt like they were just going to wait to use Alvarado in whatever inning Freddie Freeman was coming up. That happened to be the eighth. So I think it seemed like because they only have one lefty, that might dictate how Girardi uses these guys. He's going to wait to kind of figure out the inning he needs to use Alvarado, and then everyone else kind of slots in around it. It's interesting because if they had more lefties, if JoJo was here, I feel like maybe he could use the bullpen differently.
Yeah, well, you know, it was nice to have a manager that was prioritizing getting Freddie Freeman out and not treating him like just any other hitter. So it was good to see that. But honestly, like, it went the way that I kind of thought it was going to go. You know, Bradley taking down the seventh. You know, I mean, it's the first outing of the year. I know he didn't throw many pitches. I know he's effective. So, you know, I'm glad he didn't, you know, go out there for another year or another inning, because I did think that, you know, it's early in spring training, or not, it's early in the season, so you don't have to burn these guys out. So it was fine there, but really I wasn't that surprised. I mean, that felt like the way that they're going to go about this season is, and eventually I do think that Connor Brogdon's going to pitch his way into more high leverage innings, even though today was another high leverage spot. I just think that, you know, I am really, really high on Connor Brogdon, and I think he's going to continue to pitch in higher and higher leverage situations. But, you know, it was a good, well-managed bullpen game from Girardi. And, like, Freddie Freeman is the guy that you have to get out in that lineup. I mean, he kills the Phillies. He always kills the Phillies. And I thought the idea of having Alvarado ready for him, it didn't go as planned, but having him ready for him is the correct strategy. And, I you know, it's nice having guys that can actually get these guys out. So I thought it was a well-managed game by Girardi.
Jack, year two now of the runner on second base to start extra innings. We've been talking about it a lot tonight, you know, final out and then just, you know, continuing with the show. I liked it last year. I liked it more than I thought I would, and I'm glad they brought it back in. But the one thing that's obvious is, like, you know, this is not in because of health and safety protocols. That was the whole thing last year. Like, right, it's 60 games, and we don't want to tax pitchers and have these 17-inning games. They left this in because they think fans like it. So you watch it for a season last year, 60 games. Now it's back. Where are you on the runner on second base?
Well, I love it when the Phillies win.
That's always the way it is, right.
I think it's great when the Phillies win. But in all seriousness, like, I love baseball as much as anyone. It's my favorite sport. But, like, extra inning baseball was becoming brutal.
It stunk.
And it was becoming almost unwatchable. It was just waiting for someone to hit a home run. It was everyone just trying to end the game every single swing they took. And with the extra inning rule, and the reason why I like it and why I'm glad it's here, is it feels like I'm watching baseball again. Like, I was... like my heart was pounding in the 10th tonight, and I don't remember the last time I felt that way about extra inning baseball. I mean, sure, Wilson Valdez moments happen. Vince Velasquez in left field moments happen. Roy Oswalt moments in left field happen, but they're so few and far between. Like, we don't need to spend 6 hours at a ball game, you know, just for bad baseball to happen in extra innings. It's good baseball. It is intriguing baseball. It gets the games over with. And it's adding an element of strategy that I didn't factor in when it got there. You know, some teams are big on get them over, get them in. Some teams are big on, you know, trying to just go for the bigger inning. So I think it's just really fascinating. It's an interesting wrinkle. And, yeah, I'm a traditionalist, but I'm glad it's here.
Jack Fritz joining us here, High Hopes Podcast, and, of course, producer of Mark Series. So, Jack, I mean, you've known this rug. As I was saying it 3 years ago, I know the guy wins a lot of games, and he's got a good team, and he was in the NLCS last year. I just don't think Brian Snicker, as a strategist, knows what he's doing. Like, I don't get how they win so many games with him. What was he doing in the 10th inning there? I mean, that felt like when the runner was on third, I thought they would walk Bohm and walk Didi and then try to get Segura and then Quinn. Or then at least after walking Didi, I thought they would walk Segura too and go after Roman Quinn. I felt like they played right into the Phillies' hands and getting Segura to the plate instead of going after Roman Quinn there.
Well, and just letting Alec Bohm hit in that situation is ridiculous.
Crazy.
I know it worked out. I mean, I know it worked out, but Alec Bohm is far and away the most clutch player in this team. And he's a guy I want up late in games. Brian Snitker is not a good manager.
He's awful.
Like he wins a lot of games because he has really good talent. He's been gifted a good bullpen, and his pitching coach is really good. I mean, obviously, Rick Kranz was here, and they let him go for Chris Young, and that was a bad decision.
That didn't work out as planned, I would say.
No, it did not. It did not go the way that they thought it was going to go. But it felt like he was managing in the 10th. Like, you know what? It's just game one of 162. Doesn't matter if we win or lose. Whatever. And I just feel like he's gotten lucky to have a player like Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies, and they're propping him up. So, yeah, I am not a Brian Snicker fan. I think he's more lucky than good.
All right, what did you think of Nola today? Look, 6 strikeouts, no walks, which I feel like you can always tell with Nola, if the walks are there, that means he's not commanding the ball. And if he's not walking anyone, it usually means really good things for him. I mean, I thought he was really good, and then he just missed on the Pablo pitch.
Yeah, honestly, best start I've seen from him since 2018. It was the best start I've seen from him since he was third in the Cy Young. The fastball location was back. It's him having fastball location is the single most important thing that he does, and I thought he was great. Obviously, the Sandoval homer happened, and I don't know about you, Joe, but like I felt it coming. Like it was that 6th, 7th inning where it's like, oh, here comes a backbreaking home run. It feels like Nola always lets up that home run, which is, you know, unfortunate. It's something he needs to get over, but I thought he was brilliant. And like, you don't want to kill a guy because he missed one spot, so I'm not going to do that. But I thought he was great. The fastball location was dynamite. I hadn't seen him have the ability to locate his fastball in the outside corner like that since 2018. And you know, like if he can locate that pitch, then everything else just works better off of it. He's not, you know, having to flip over a bunch of curveballs. The changeup becomes more of a weapon. So I thought it was a really positive start for Nola. It was really positive, a good step in the right direction, and I think we're in for a good Nola year. That looked like more like 2018 Nola than 2019 or 2020 Nola.
Yeah, and that would change their team if that's him or he's close to that. All right, last one for you, Jack. So Alec Bohm had the stab at the ball, but you know he jumped and caught it. Most guys couldn't do that because he's so tall. Good defensive play there. And then I thought the sack fly in the first inning really just showed, like, the one thing about him, he doesn't strike out. I saw a stat tonight before the game ended. I think he's only struck out 4 times in 53 or so plate appearances with runners in scoring position since he came up here. Like, it's not so much that he's a great hitter. He's a good one, and maybe he'll become great. But he always seems to put the bat on the ball when there's guys on base. Like, that, like he drove in a run just because he flied out to left field. And, like, that's something back in the day was routine. But now with so many strikeouts, we often miss that. It's like that was such a big play in the game, and it just happened because he made contact.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just what he does. And that's why it was, like, shocking that Brian Snicker pitched to him in the 10th. It's like, oh, he's obviously going to get the job done here. He always gets the job done. And I just think it's crazy that we feel that way about a 24-year-old. But it's like the evidence is overwhelming. The evidence behind Alec Bohm is overwhelming. And, like, you know, you and I both love Bryce Harper. We both think he's great. Rhys Hoskins, I think we both feel like, is a bit underrated. Had a tough day today. I'm sure people won't forget it. But it's just nice to see a throwback hitter. Like, it's just nice to see a throwback hitter that hates striking out, loves putting barrel to ball, and, you know, thinks opposite field and looks to do damage to the opposite field. It's honestly how the best hitters in baseball are. I mean, Miguel Cabrera is the best right-handed hitter in baseball for a while. Manny Ramirez is the best right-handed hitter in baseball for a while. J.D. Martinez, you could argue, is, you know, still one of the 3 best pure hitters in the sport. And those guys consistently barrel up the baseball to the right center field gap. And that's where Bohm is. And I just think he's tremendous. And, you know, we saw, what, 43 games of Alec Bohm last year. Now we get, hopefully, no injuries happen, but 162 of Alec Bohm. Like, it is such a joy to watch on a night in, night out basis.
All right, Jack, next time we talk will be next Thursday. So by then, the path to 162-0, the Phillies will then be, let's see, 6-0 by next Thursday?
I'll take 4-2 by next Thursday.
Yeah, I will too. All right, we'll talk next week, Jack. Thank you.
All right, Joe, appreciate it.
There he goes. Jack Fritz, High Hopes Podcast, which you can download and listen to. And, of course, the WIP Afternoon Show with Mark Cerise. Yes, Alec Bohm's knack for putting the bat on the ball in those spots, very impressive. And the Phillies get a win today. And it was subtle, but that early RBI he had got them on the board. Justin is in Kearney's Point. He's excited about the Phillies. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, Joe? How you doing, bud?
Justin, I'm doing well, buddy. What's up?
Not a lot. I mean, it feels good to be excited. I guess the majority of our teams, 2 out of 3, you know, good, doing pretty darn good. I'm watching the time tick off the Sixers 25-point win over the Cleveland Cavaliers, who've been buzz in our side all year. So that it feels good.
It does, yeah. And Justin, to get a win opening day, look, it's just 1 of 162, awesome. But it feels different. It feels like, you know what? Maybe we got something here, and obviously today the bullpen was just, you know, they did the job.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, one game, but still, we have a fairly good idea of what our lineup can produce, barring injuries and whatnot. And today, seeing our lineup face their ace and their lineup face ours, as I watch us progress, you know, first, second time through both lineups, I do feel like we can go punch for punch with you know, any team in the division, really, or in the conference. I mean, and it's a nice feeling. I think for all the worries we had, obviously everyone wanted JT back, but we didn't think we were going to get him, and was he worth the big contract and all that. Today, literally, it was a microcosm of what we get from him. Best player at the plate today, you know, had the best day all around. Hit the ball great, and then the incredible defensive play, you know, assisted with Roman Quinn. But really, that was more Realmuto's, awareness and just great fundamentals blocking that plate, and just amazing, man. It really was. And then Baum's play with the line drive saving a run, and then also Didi's play. I mean, it's just awesome. And then, like you touched on, the bullpen. Like, I don't even know we haven't seen these guys yet with the Phillies, and already I had confidence bringing in Bradley. And then even with Alvarado, and we knew he was struggling at the end of spring training with the control. And, man, how awesome is it to finally have a triple digits guy? Like,
it's the last guy, Justin, was in, I think, August of 2019, right before he got hurt, Sir Anthony Dominguez. We're talking about all of last year, not one guy touched 100. He did it twice in the eighth inning today.
Yeah, it's amazing. And real, what is the deal with Sir Anthony? I mean, shouldn't he be close to being back? Or
yeah, so it was it's a crazy story. I feel bad for him. So last year, they recommended Tommy John, He had to go home. I think he's from the Dominican. He had to go home.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get back here because of COVID stuff. Like travel. And then Justin, the story's unbelievable. So he eventually got back here, but somehow in the process of traveling here, he contracted COVID. So he wasn't able to get the surgery. So he basically was delayed months and months. So like if he got the surgery right away a year ago, he probably would be soon coming back. But he basically didn't get it till the end of last summer. So he might miss this whole season.
Wow. I mean, this is going on 3 years.
I know.
I tried to avoid the Tommy John with him originally, and it was crazy last year because I remember coming out of Girardi's mouth to start the year. One of the biggest things is we need Sir Anthony to be healthy, and they expected him to start the season last year. And then it just, within a week, it just spun out of control. And then, you know, all this stuff happened.
Well, it's incredible. You remember, I guess it was 2019, right? Or was it 2018 or 20? It was 2018, I guess. Yeah,
18. Yeah,
yeah. In 2018, from the end of May when they called him up until August, he was he was one of the 10 best relievers in baseball.
It was incredible. I mean, I remember his fastball moved like a slider, and then he also had the slider. It was so exciting. Like, we finally got a guy. He was homegrown, and then it just fell apart. Hopefully, he can work his way back slowly. Like you said, obviously it'll be next year, but. Real quick, I just wanted to do a couple minute on Sixers, if we can.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm just night in and night out. I mean, I'm more impressed by tonight. Doc almost went with the bench effort the whole second half. I mean, we were in control of the game, but it's exciting to see all our now. What's going on with George Hill? Did he play? I didn't see him tonight?
No, George isn't back yet, but he's got, so when they acquired him, Daryl Morey said that it's soon. It was a matter of the way he described it a couple days ago was it's more of a matter of days rather than weeks. So George Hill's close here.
Okay, so he was injured when we got him. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, he had surgery. He he like took a tip ball off the tip of his fingers, and it kind of bent, bent the little tip of the finger out of whack. So they did a surgery on it. So he's been out a couple months, but they don't think it's anything that's going to, like, once he's back, he should be normal.
Be good. Yeah. I'm excited to see. I'm really, really excited to see what that can do. I honestly think he might work his way once we get close to playoffs. He might be in the starting lineup. I really do think so, just because Seth hasn't gotten back yet to that early season form. And I think his firepower along with Shake coming off the bench really could be something, that could be a big weapon in the playoffs, and having the security of George Hill. Now, maybe not to start, but I think in the fourth quarter of games, you're going to see George Hill in with Ben Simmons, because I don't know about you, but all this positive – I love everything Simmons does as a whole, but I'm still so frustrated with him on the offensive side. Like, the aggression is just – it's just not there. I saw him tonight, and he had Dellavedova one-on-one, literally, like, 10 feet from the basket. And it's crazy. It's such a weird dilemma, because I'm like, all right, be aggressive. You got to back him in close and just dunk it, literally. That's all he has to do. And instead – he backs him down for one dribble and then turns around and actually shoots like an 8-foot fadeaway jumper. And he missed, but it's like, God, I want to be happy because he attempted a jumper. But at the same time, the basketball IQ should be telling him that's not necessary. You take the most efficient shot at the time, and with guys like Dellavedova on you, you got to know to take advantage of that. And it's just so frustrating at this point in his career with his inability to shoot. He doesn't understand where he can take advantage of those instances, which is quite often because of his size and ability to be athletic with his size. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, it's maddening. Justin, I always appreciate your phone call. We'll hit on this. We'll have a Trust the Post game coming up the other side, and we'll continue to react to the Phillies' win, including something about what they did early in the game to the Braves starting pitcher that I really thought was important and hopefully continues. But as far as Ben Simmons go, we'll talk about it on the other side. Ben Simmons tonight, the Sixers win. They won by 20 points tonight, 114-94 to close out the road trip. They're coming home 33-15. There's a lot of good, and hopefully, we get to see Joel this weekend, and we steamroll towards the playoffs here. But goodness gracious, Ben Simmons, 24 minutes tonight, 2 of 11 shooting. He has gone so backwards since the second half started. It's a problem. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.